is Amanda.
And this is Chris.
And this is Vocal Herspective.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Vocal Herspective. I'm Chris, and I'm here with my co-host, Amanda.
Hello.
We're very excited to bring to you and a very amazing guest, a fascinating guest, and I can't wait to jump right into it. Please welcome Miss Fatima Whalen.
Hello.
Hi, it's so good to have you, Fatima. How are you?
I'm doing well, and thank you for having me. I'm really excited to meet you both. I've seen you, Amanda, a few times, but Christina, I don't know if we've ever actually...
I think recently, there's so many different weird circles that I think we have met through. I think we've met through some of our Acaville connections. Yes. I think we've met through barbershop. I think you've been a practice judge, potentially, with quartets that I've been in or choruses. Yes. And I've seen you around. Yes. It's funny, ever since we did like the little 10-minute segment, I feel like I've seen you or been at it somewhere where you've been somehow connected.
We have.
And this is where I think this guest is going to be so fascinating, everyone, is that we normally are like pigeonholed into either barbershop or contemporary. And I feel like Fatima kind of bridges some of that. And she has experiences all over the place. So we usually like to start with a little, just tell us about yourself. Give us your, this is me and how I got into a cappella.
Oh my goodness. This is me. Well, how my story on how I got into a cappella. Well, I can... I sort of let you know how I kind of came into Harmony Inc., because that was really a fundamental time for me coming into the a cappella world. You know, as a kid, I think when we're music kids, I was always a band kid, or I always played an instrument, or I was in a choir. But how I was introduced to specifically barbershop was I had moved from Ontario, and I now live in Nova Scotia. And for a little while, I was quite homesick. I really wanted to go back to Ontario. So my heart was in Ontario, but I was living here. And I was feeling a little bit lonely. And I remember, and it was meant to be. I remember going into my mailbox and receiving like this flyer for a beauty product. And if someone was selling a beauty product, I don't know if you've heard of Avon. And of course, you know, I said, oh, let me have a look. And so I said, you know what, maybe I'll order something. Well, it turns out that the person I ordered from was a member of Harmony Inc. and they sang at a local chorus here in the area. And I ended up meeting them, and eventually we became friends. And she said, you know what? Do you like music? Do you like to sing? And I was like, do I? And for a little while, she's like, I'd love for you to come to one of our rehearsals. You know, it's a lot of fun. And I was like, you know what? I'm not sure. We'll see. So she said, okay, no problem. But she kept attending. And then one day she said, you know, I'm going to an area contest. And I said, oh, what is that? And then she said, oh, this is what we do. And it's so much fun. And she said, just come on Tuesday. And they had rehearsals on Tuesday night. So I did. And I sat down, and it happened to be a Scotianaires rehearsal, and you know, the Scotianaires from Area One. And I sat down, and I heard Beauty and the Beast, and I was completely captivated when I heard the sound of four-part harmony. It was something that, you know, I had heard harmony before in a cappella, but in that way. And I was just like, I want to do that. I want to sing like that. And that was it. That was sort of how I was just... I knew that was where I wanted to be, you know?
What year was that, Fatima?
Oh my goodness. In 2000, oh, could it be 2007? It was a little while ago. Yeah.
Nice. I was in Nova Scotia in 2003 when the Harmony Inc. International was actually held there. That's where I won my first crown, was in Nova Scotia. And that was like
very
just
cool.
One of the most special, amazing experiences to be up there and to experience the Scotianaires. They're pretty fabulous.
They are. I love our Area One. It's pretty cool. And I think that's for Harmony. And that's sort of where I was kind of like, the rest is history, you know? And so that was it.
So you've come a long way since then, though. You're not just a member of a chorus. There's a lot of other things that you do just within Harmony Inc. now.
Yes. Yes. I really enjoyed being part of, you know, as a member of the chorus. Most recently, I am now a member of the Valley Voices from Area One. But through that whole journey, I've, you know, really enjoyed having the opportunity to be coached and to perform And that kind of led into me being able, to join the judging community program, the judging program. And so, I'm currently a performance judge. And that's been absolutely amazing and rewarding to be able to serve in that capacity in our organization. I just, I have been so, I think a lot of us have met someone that we've been influenced by or that we've learned from. And it's such a nurturing culture of learning and growth. And I have received that through the years that it was something that I was like, was in my heart. I was like, I want to be able to do that. How cool is that, that I get to see others thrive and grow and be their best as a performer. And I think that's something that I just find great joy in.
Fatima, do you, do you have a background in music? Is that where your, expertise lies, or is it just, has it been more of a hobby for you?
Well, I would say that when I originally started and I was in school, I did a lot of musical things. I was very much involved in art or drama or music or band. But when I actually went to study, I didn't do that, but I always found like that you find your way back to something that you loved originally. Do you know how life just sort of, and you end up going a different path. And then somehow it kind of brings you back again to music, to what you truly loved, And I found that that's sort of how I did. I ended up getting learning and training, not, getting a degree, but I learned it in other ways. Somehow I found it again. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's what I find so fascinating about a cappella and barbershop is that so many of our experts, that's not what they do for a living. That's not what their job is. And there's quite a few other places, I guess you can see that in sports, but not usually at this high a level. Usually when you get to the high level, you're expecting it to be, oh, they must have to be professionals. They must have to be choir directors. No, you can be an expert in this craft and it can be just as fulfilling as being a part of the hobby itself, as a performer. And I think that's where it's like, I think we forget that sometimes when we are in front of a judge, that this is as much of a hobby and a fulfillment for them. And I think that that's something I'd like to talk to you about because I'm not a judge and people always ask me, are you ever going to judge? And I'm like, I don't know.
Oh my gosh. It's such a commitment.
I'm like, I don't know. Like it terrifies me, but they're like, you're in 8 ensembles. I'm like, I don't care. I'll be in 12. I don't think I could judge. So just tell us, like, how did you find yourself in this space after, being a singer and performer with Harmony?
Well, it's really quite interesting because I, at Area One, there was one year where they had where you could kind of have the, you could be a guest or a guest judge or get to experience what it's like. And so you could sit in and kind of experience it. And I remember I signed up for that. And I went and I sat and I kind of got to sort of see what it was like to get the opportunity. And I sat down and I thought, this is so cool. Wow. This is to kind of be on that desk and be able to watch and watch folks perform. And from that moment, I said, I think this is what I would love to try and do. This is really cool. And I think from then on, I've been surrounded by so many educators, fellow peers that I've learned from along the way. And I just love the sharing of knowledge that happens. And I think that's what makes it really special. It's one of these things where it's like, you're sitting beside someone that you absolutely admire and you're learning from them, and just the willingness to share that, to help us to grow and to excel at what we do. And I think that's what I was really drawn to. And that need that I think it has to be, that it's about giving back. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's what I love about it, that it's one of those things where this is one of these organizations where, you're a performer, but you cheer each other on as contestants, as fellow peers, that we're willing to help each other and to share our learning and to share expertise. And I think that's what's so great about it.
We definitely get that from you when you're sitting at the desk. You've been at the judge in the pit for several of our contests, and you're one of those judges that I enjoy like seeing. Because it's just, you always give something back to the performers, which has been nice. No offense to the judges that don't, everybody do your own thing. But, with you and particularly with Diane Patterson, there's just this like presence that you have that you're like, okay, they're smiling, I feel good about this, and I can give more. So you're always a very nice presence in the pit. But I know that all of this work like must be bleeding over into your own performance because, mm-hmm. I mean, look at Valley Voices. That chorus has had quite a rise over the last couple of years.
It's been quite amazing, quite an amazing experience just to see the evolution of this wonderful chorus that I'm, you know, so thankful to be a part of. And the just the membership and the culture of this chorus. And, you know, we have a wonderful music team. You know, we're under the leadership of director Adele Merritt. You may have met her, you've seen her in the pit or, you know, been coached mm-hmm. by her. And she's just... one of the things that I really love about her or just our musical leadership is when, you know, you look at an ensemble and you believe that they're capable of achieving something that they may not see yet, you know, and believing in you, even though you may not yet believe it yourself that it's going to happen, you know, but to have that kind of fearless boldness to take risks and to go, we're going to try it. And, you know, and if we... make, as Bob Ross would say, happy mistakes, the painter, we make those
happy accidents.
Happy accidents, yes. And I think that's what I really love is to create a space where you can kind of get messy as a performer and take risks and still have a culture where it's nurturing and it's accepting of all kinds. We're all very different. We're as a collective, we're all very different. And especially during this time, I think that it really speaks huge that music, we can come from so many different worlds, but the music brings us, it unites us. You know, it gives us that common thread that you can just close, you know, whatever's happening in your day, wherever you're from, whatever your story is, we come into that rehearsal space and our stories is the same. We come united. And I think that's what I really love about our, you know, just our choruses in our organization is that we can have that space, you know?
Yeah. And I think it starts with trust. You know, when you trust, it's like you said, you trust that your director, you know that your director sees more than you see. And so you already trust that. Like there's already this huge net that's cast for you, ready to catch you before you fall. And then the same thing, your director can do that because she trusts you as a performer. Yeah. And then when you feel that trust as a performer, you're willing to let yourself go. And I think it's just, it's a constant cycle of trust. And I think if any choruses are feeling that they're not, or even, you know, small ensembles, you're feeling that you're not having that, you know, maybe sit down and have a conversation about, you know, where do you feel like you can't trust, you know, and it can be something as simple as, I just don't feel like you're going to cover my breath, you know, like it can be just, or it can be as much as I don't feel safe with my feelings right now. Yeah. I don't care. So it can go as big as that. And it's, you know, silly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you know, it is a space of vulnerability as a performer, isn't it? Because whether we perform in front of our family and friends or your favorite or your pet, or, you know, an audience or, you know, international stage. Mm-hmm. It's you're putting yourself out there and it's vulnerable and it's hard, right? To be able to show your emotions it can be easier said than done. So if that space is there in the rehearsal, where we can delve and explore and play create that space. I think that's just the opportunity for growth right there, you know?
For sure. And you're also quartetting again. Yes.
I am quartetting again and I'm having a lot of fun. So it's really cool. Cause this time I'm singing, I'm doing baritone. So.
Woohoo! You're with two baritones. So
are we?
Woo-hoo!
Oh, baritone.
I mean, I'm actively only singing baritone in a mixed group and past groups, but always once a baritone, always a baritone. I'm just a baritone moonlighting as a bass half the time.
It's, you know what? I find it that it's, what did I say? Weirdly melodic.
Yes. That's how I learned baritone parts. I tell everybody, I don't know what the actual melody is. The baritone part is the melody in my head. That's the only way to learn it.
Once it's in there.
Exactly.
Don't ask me that's why I struggle so much, Amanda, like in that one section, I'm like, am I singing the melody? I can't tell. Like, am I singing the baritone part? Like somebody tell me, I don't know. Like, I don't know. It sounds like the melody to me.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of, and it's fun. it's really fun, isn't it? Because you kind of get to play of like, oh, wait, I'm above. Oh, wait, I'm below. Wait, I'm above. And, you know, like you're kind of like the, I don't
my
know.
My note's important? No, now it's really
no,
not
it's not important.
It feels like a, it feels like surfing to me. I imagine it like being
oh,
a surfer.
A
and I mean, I'm not really a surfer. I've never surfed, but I imagine that the same difficulty that surfing takes where you're just constantly, you know, riding that wave. And it's different than any other part that I've ever sang.
It is. It is different and very cool.
So how did they rope you into becoming a baritone for this quartet? And which quartet is it? Just so everybody knows which you're singing
so we're
with.
We're Flourish. Mm-hmm. And so we're from Area One. And so we have, our lead, who we're all members of the Valley Voices, actually, which is really cool. So we get to see each other regularly. And so our lead is Kelly, and she's just this wonderful lead. And our bass is Carrie. And our tenor, who is Jennifer, and she's also a member of a quartet called Foreshore as well, a wonderful quartet from our area.
Mm-hmm.
So we are having, it's so great when you just are having fun and you're learning, right? And you're also challenging each other. And I think that's what's great about, being in a group like this is that not only are you learning and you're learning music, but you're also part of a chorus and you're learning from the chorus. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of like a holistic thing, which is kind of cool. We get to do that. Not all quartets get to be in the same chorus. You know, some mm-hmm. are long distance and they're fabulous. And so that's kind of cool that we get to see each other on Tuesdays too, when we have rehearsal.
Yeah, you always carry the lessons from chorus, and it's easier when everybody's getting the same lesson and then you bring it into quartet rehearsal. But also, you know, we've noticed in Bella, and I noticed, you know, on the score sheets from Area One, I didn't get to come up there, but the Valley Voices had a lot of quartetters.
We did. I think we had four quartets. I think that
that's not, you know, going to be a full 16, you know, different because some people are in maybe multiple groups.
Yeah.
But that's still like roughly 10 people. And how big is your chorus?
Oh my goodness. I am not sure. You know what? I think we're 70 plus.
Oh,
I'm like,
wow.
70 plus. I have to
huge.
Check with
that's
our director.
Huge too.
Wow. It is. And I mean, I think what's so fun is that we've had, you know, when a lot of folks want to try it, you know, it's an opportunity to go, hey, this is kind of cool. I see them doing it. That's how I got into it. I went to, actually, it was at an international and it was Hot Topic, I believe.
That's Chris.
That was me. We won in Nova Scotia. That's
okay.
Me.
So I might have been there. I've been in.
And then Rochester.
I might have joined earlier.
And then Rochester is where we got our permanent tiaras.
Okay. You know, okay. So Christina, I remember I was in a hotel room. I think it was a big like gathering room. And I think you must have been walking around and performing. And I was fresh new. And I remember sitting on the carpet and a bunch of us were like, oh, now someone introduced Hot Topic. And I was in the front and you performed. And I was like this.
I was a ripe of 19 years old.
Oh, really?
It was an amazing night. I'm telling you, it was an amazing day. But,
So I remember, you know, I have those. And, you know, when you go to an international and you're new, you're just kind of like, wow. You know, and then you're like, oh, I want to try that. I want to
exactly
see what that's like, doesn't it? It just kind of puts that little seed in you that you go back all excited and you're like, oh, we're gonna, you know. And I think it's a great way to inspire new folks that want to try it, that perhaps they think, or you know, that may be a little bit shy and don't realize that they're just diamond in the rough. They're just, you know,
mm-hmm.
waiting to shine in a quartet. And I think that's really cool in our chorus that we have a few quartets. We had our Area One champions, Synergy, and they're fantastic. So I'm very excited for them and for our other quartets that also did really well. We have Lady Lyrics, Foreshore, and Sister Q, that are a new quartet. They didn't compete, but we have a few quartets. So that's so cool.
That will bode well for your whole chorus. You know, the more comfortable people are being so vulnerable to stand up there with a quartet, the easier it is to get on the risers with the chorus.
It is.
Well, and I was just thinking, because, you know, you're being a judge. I love how still at our international, we have to pull in some male judges because so many of our judging faculty still compete, which is just not really the norm outside of our organization. And I think mm-hmm. that it's fabulous. I mean, we're big enough to support our own judges, but our judges still want to do.
Not when all of our judges want to be on stage.
That's what I'm saying, but our judges still want to do it. So I'm like, let's go. I love that. And I love that we can support BHS in the same ways when they are short and they're more of their judging staff is also becoming competitors again. So I think, you know, the more you do, the more you learn. And we benefit those of us who get to sit in an evaluation with a judge who is an active competitor. We can tell. Yeah. We can. And it really is helpful to know that you are also experiencing what we are experiencing. So you're not asking things that you know can't be done.
It is. We're all on the same journey, aren't we?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So some of our listeners might recognize your name because for a while you hosted Shop Talk, one of our barbershop shows on Acaville.
Yes.
And one of my favorite things about some of your episodes was you always ended with a contemporary piece that you thought people should know.
Yes.
So where did that I know that you've got some love for contemporary acapella. Where did that inspiration come
That's
from?
That's why I thought she came from the contemporary world. I thought you guys like snuck her into the barbershop.
No.
Well, you know, I always loved listening to acapella. I mean, I love barbershop, four-part harmony, but I was always a pentatonics fan or, you know, voice play or any of the collegiate groups, you know, I would listen to. And I thought, oh, you know, I kind of love that kind of, you know, we have arrangements now, even in, you know, our style of performance that are kind of different and really cool, right? Because our music is evolving, right? And our arrangements are very cool and very different now. We're, you know, you can see the growth or the difference or the cool things that we're hearing in performances now. And so I really love a cappella and I listen to it just in general. So when I thought, you know, there is a connection. I mean, we're all singing, music is great music, right? Whatever style, with its two part, three part, four part, eight part. And so I thought, you know, it's a really cool way to kind of meld because there are some similarities, you know, we just do it in four parts, but
I've always felt like I've said to Amanda, like we're at a spectrum, you know, you've got the best of contemporary over here and the best of barbershop. And it's like, as we learn from each other, it just gets better because the way that contemporary acapella had the vulnerability just from the get-go, like that's what it was. The more vulnerable you were, the better it, you know, fueled your music. And barbershop, that was not as vulnerability was last and lock and ring was first. And so as we kind of get to that like synergy in the center, it's what I feel barbershop is now, you know, and I see it happening in contemporary acapella as well. The tight harmonies that are flowing over into these contemporary arrangers that are almost fitting it for barbershop and they don't even know that they're doing it.
Exactly. And it was so cool because not this past year, but last year I was at the ICCA.
I was going to ask about that.
Which was amazing because my daughter is in an acapella group and she's a long distance youth member with our chorus. So there's that really cool connection that she loves, you know, she loves to perform as well. So I went to actually go and support her as mama and dad and friends and, you know, and oh my goodness, I sat down and I literally felt like I was watching soon to be Broadway performers, like every performance that went on that stage, just the level and just the vulnerability, the level of performance that I was seeing was just incredible. And these are, you know, young ones, you know, and it was,
I say
just,
it all the time.
I was in awe. I was just in awe, literally
I
the whole
so
time.
I am so glad I am not a music student right now. Like I say that all the time, but the longer I see the talent that's coming out of our high school programs and going into collegiate programs, they're all good. They're really good.
Yes. And then seeing it in our organizations, you know, Sweet Adelines, BHS, Harmony Inc., you know, abroad, we, you know, all of us, and just seeing just the youth and the collegiate and just the talent, you know, and just
we had a quartet trying it. From Japan singing the international stage and killing it for men's barbershop. You know, I have hope for women's barbershop as well. I want us to find those reaches, but it's happening. And it's beyond the music.
Exactly.
The music is the center.
Yeah. And that's what's been fun about being able to do Shop Talk was that, you know, Amanda, you kind of said, sure. let's do it.
Oh,
you know, I did throw in Boys to Men because, you know, it is, you know, beautiful tight harmonies, Boys to Men, and, you know, just pentatonics, a little bit of everything. And I think you can see that sort of the crossover, that influence, right? So
absolutely. You always said that so beautifully. But I mean, so you mentioned your daughter was in a, you know, a high level collegiate group. If they made ICCA finals, they're one of the best, and then comes and is a long distance youth member of your chorus. What is that experience? What has she been able to bring back? Like, have you noticed a difference since she's been involved in both?
Well, I know last year she was more involved this year because she's away at school and she hasn't been able to come home as much. It's been harder. She's still a member of they're called On That Note. So she's still a member. So, but the previous year she went to area with us, and what she just loves, you know, because she gets to experience a bit of both worlds, right? She gets to have the collegiate experience and then being a part of our chorus. And she just loves just the feeling embraced, you know. Sometimes coming in as a youth member, you don't really know what it's going to be like, you know, but she just felt so welcomed and so loved, and they just loved on her and accepted her. And she felt so accepted. And the same with the other group. It's a different experience, but that's what she just really enjoyed. And I think she said that she really learned as well, because four-part harmony, what we perform, it's not easy. I wouldn't say that it's easy. And so she's learned a lot of technical aspects, a lot of things about, you know, breath support, pitch, singing, chord locking, all of those things that she goes over, and she gets to do this with this other awesome group. And she's like, wow, like, you know, these are things that I've learned and that make me a better performer and a better singer in terms of technique and performance, which is kind of cool that she gets to experience both.
And for you, I mean, after experiencing an ICCA, what kind of thoughts did you have then about coming back to a barbershop contest?
Wow, the choreography.
Could you imagine the choreography?
We always called butts and circles.
I know, butts and circles
going in opposite directions.
Like getting on a treadmill, running while performing for 2 hours.
And holding a microphone.
It's really inspiring. It is inspiring. But one of the things about performance in what we do is that, you know, we're looking at performance in terms of being authentic and being real, and, you know, how we're able to just, you know, it's sharing our humanity, which is kind of what we do, right? And sometimes that doesn't require very much other than just ourselves. And then there's the time where you can have all that kind of cool, fun stuff that is, you know, it's great and it's entertaining. But I really love that we're going, that, you know, it's really evolving our art and our style of singing and performing. And we're seeing some pretty incredible performances that just move you, you know, and you're just like, wow, like our art. And that's giving of yourself, you know, when you put yourself in that space, when you do it on stage, you know, that's life changing, you know.
It is. So, I mean, I've been watching you ramp up. I'm seeing you perform more. I'm seeing you more and like in the judging pit more and more. What's on the docket for you? What's coming up? What do you see yourself doing in the next couple of years with barbershop?
Oh my goodness. Well, I think I love where I'm at. I'm one of those people that I am a planner, but I also leave room for whatever the future holds, because you never know what life does. You know, things can turn, things can change. So you know what? I'm just enjoying where I am right now, you know, in terms of the journey that I've been on. I'm so thankful, and I'm blessed. I think that I get to do this, and that I get to do it with people that I love, that have impacted my life, not just musically, but on a personal level, as friends, as human beings. And if I get to just be where I am right now, and I get to do it for whatever long time, I think I would be quite content. I think anything else that happens, you know, I would love to continue what I'm doing in terms of coaching and judging, because that just, I love it. It's joyful and I'm learning and I'm being challenged. I think that when, you know, you have to be open to learning, and I'd love to continue to do that. And you never know what's around the corner. And sometimes the most unexpected things happen in our life that you weren't expecting and that weren't part of the plan. And they're meant to be, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you found a friend and here you are, what, 18 or so, 20 years later, you're still in it.
I am. I'm still in it. And I'm quite thankful for that, because I remember being a 9-year-old little girl. I immigrated to Canada and I didn't speak the language. And it's hard when you are in a new place, but our family was welcomed and loved. And I'm going a little bit off because it starts where it began. And, you know, the first, even though I couldn't speak the language, they introduced us to music and band. And this comes to the importance of music that I, you know, couldn't stress enough in schools, because how it affected me. I couldn't speak the language, but I could see music. I could read notes. I could read dots. I could read rhythm, and I could play. And, you know, I remember my dad, he would sit down. He's no longer with us, but he would just sit down and say, play me a song. And I wasn't very good. Like, it's a recorder, you know, it's a recorder. And then as soon as I moved up to the flute, you know, he'd have his friends over and he'd, you know, say, play this song. And I was like, two songs, Dad, you know. But, you know, it's those little things that I think were, that was the language, you know. And then you take it, and then you take it with you. And then whatever happens there, whether you're in front of a stage doing a play or singing or performing, all of that, I remember how did it all begin? And if I can remember that and not always get caught up, like, it's got to be perfect, or this is what I got to do on stage. But if I remember why we do it and what's the reason behind it, then whatever happens.
What a full circle journey for you.
Fatima, thank you so much. That is such a perfect way to close out our episode. It really, truly gives your perspective is what, you know, we try to focus on that, but it's a uniquely personal view of a beautiful thing that we share together. And I like to think of it, you know, I talk to my friends a lot about forever sports. I talk to my kids about forever sports. Like, you know, you might not be able to play softball forever, but you could play pickleball forever. It's okay to learn multiple sports. It's like, this is a forever hobby. You don't ever have to stop. Like, you don't have
there's
to
a place,
like,
always
you're in it.
We have members that are our legacy. That
and how
have
often
been
do
members.
We get to say that about something that we don't have? It doesn't have to go anywhere as long as we nurture it and we give into it. We have to give to, you mm-hmm. know, in one way or another, we have to put in by a competitor or going to observe, you know, as a you know, an audience member or stage crew or serving on the board or being a judge. You have to give in, but you never have to give it up.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, and you were saying, like, what's the age range in Valley Voices now with 70 people?
Oh my goodness. I mean, we have a youth member and then we have oh my goodness, it could be 80s. I mean, where else do you have a space where that kind of, I would say, wonderful flavors of humans, you know what I mean? From different walks of life can come together and produce beautiful ringing chords and perform from the heart and just, you know, there aren't too many places, and I would have to say, especially in our times right now, where that's the space, and that's a space that we have to kind of maintain that for us. I think, you know,
and for me, it reminds me a lot of when I was in band or in choir or in orchestra or in a play or in a musical or in an a cappella group. It was always that feeling of, you know, check your stress at the door. We'll hold it here at the door. You can come in here and be safe and play and everything's good. But it doesn't matter if you speak the same language or wear the same
believe the same things.
The same thing. Yeah. You know, it just didn't come up.
Yeah.
Because there was something bigger.
It is.
Well, Fatima, thank you so much for stopping by our little podcast. It was so lovely to get to hear a little bit more about your story and celebrate all of the things that you have given to us. And I know we always hear about, you know, getting it back, but we appreciate all that you do for a cappella and for Barbershop and for Harmony Inc. And we look forward to seeing you in the pit and on the stage.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Of course. It's been a pleasure. And for everybody else, we'll see you next Thursday.
See you next Thursday.